and I have to follow that. What a blessing. A little foretaste of what the music in heaven is going to be like. And we will look forward to that time. Thank you, girls. Thank you for being here today. And it's going to be a special blessing and a special treat today as we go through the day and enjoy the fellowship and the good food that has been provided, and then the concert this afternoon. So we will truly look forward to that. And I'm kind of mad at Brother Stephen Sullivan because he was supposed to tell me when his dad was going to be here, because I told him I wanted to have him preach. And you could have had a homecoming message from him, Brother Larry Sullivan, and he's pastor of the Shenandoah Baptist Church. And when I was in the hospital down in Austin, he came to visit me and was a real blessing. And thank you for being here today. But you're stuck with me now. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 35. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. I know this is a fairly long passage, but if you'll stand with me, Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 15. And God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you where you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me in the way which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Allen Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And God said also to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, and to your descendants after you I give this land." Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. You may be seated. This is graduation time around the country, and back in 2002, shortly after I came to the church here, Doyle and Jeannie Gatlin were members of the church, and their grandson graduated, and the graduation announcement had this motto on it, "Respis, adspis, prospis," and I'm not a Latin expert, Richard is, but the translation I found was this: remember the past, consider the present, look to the future. Today, here at the First Baptist Church of Las Colinas, as we celebrate our 164th anniversary in homecoming as a church, I want to speak on the subject, return to Bethel. based on Jacob's return to Bethel in Genesis 35 that we've just read. I believe God has a message for us today from this scripture. My 3 points are based on those 3 Latin words, respis, aspis, prospis. Remember the past, consider the present, and look to the future. Thank you, son. And so first, respis. Remember the past. Remembering Jacob's past. You see, Jacob was born one of 2 twins. When he was born, he had his hand on his brother's heel, and he was given the name of Jacob, which means supplanter or deceiver. And so Jacob lived up to his name. He was a deceiver. He deceived and cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright. He cheated Esau out of their father's blessing. And finally, Esau had more than he could take. And so he decided he was going to kill Jacob. And Jacob had to run for his life. And he ran away to the country of Haran, where his uncle Laban lived. And he lived there for many years. But in Genesis chapter 28, God appeared to Jacob. And he said, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth." This is when he was running away from Esau. "And its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac.'" And so God appeared to Jacob there, and God renewed the covenant that God had originally made with Abraham in Genesis 28, verses 13 and 14. "The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And those of us who attended the wedding yesterday, know a little bit more about covenant than perhaps we did. But when God makes a covenant, it is an eternal covenant. It is a permanent, lasting covenant. And so that covenant that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob is still in effect today. And God is still with his people, chosen people, Israel, there in the Middle East. And we can know and realize that God is going to fulfill every promise that he made in the covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God's promise to him in verse 15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And so this was looking at Jacob's past. This is what he had to think about. Now, every one of us, born again children of God, we have our own Bethel. We have our own place where we can go to and remember it, at least in our minds. Now, I have the advantage over most of you because every day I can return to my Bethel. If you look on the front of the flowers here, there is a little plaque. I'm going to have to go around here because I don't have it memorized. But the plaque says, "Richard Dale Thornton, born May the 2nd, 1936. Reborn, 1946. This board, the boards down there on the communion table, is from the floor of the old Shenry Lake Missionary Baptist Church in Aspromont, Texas, where I was standing when I was reborn by God's grace. And then if you look over here, thanks to my son Stephen back here, on this prayer bench, there is the end of one of the old homemade pews that was there in that old Shinra Lake Missionary Baptist Church, where I was saved by the grace of God. And that is in my study. This plaque hangs on the wall of my study, along with those boards. And every day it can remind me of the day when God's grace reached down from heaven, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through His Son Jesus Christ, saved me by His marvelous and wonderful grace. And that is my Bethel. And I thank God for that day in July of 1946, in that revival meeting in that little country church, Brother Grantham preaching the revival. Before we went to the services that morning of the revival, that was back when we had morning and evening services in a revival. And before the revival services one morning, I was deeply under conviction. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I knew if I died, I would go to hell. And so I went out in the pasture, surrounded by mesquite trees and cactus plants, fell on my face there before God, and poured out my heart, crying out to God to save me. And that morning in the revival services, when the invitation was given, I was hanging on that pew as tightly as I could. But then God came down. And God, by His marvelous grace, saved me. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. And so I thank God that I have my Bethel to go back to. And I hope and pray that every one of you have had that personal experience of salvation, that you have your own Bethel that you can go back to when you know exactly the time and the place and the reality of your salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the 164th anniversary of First Baptist Church Las Colinas. We can return to our Bethel. We can remember the past. I know that it's really not possible for us to go back 164 years. But if I may just share with you quickly some things about the early days of the church. And by the way, our church, 164 years old, and it's a very, very rare circumstance where we have all of the church records that go back to May the 15th, 1853, when this church was first founded. And they're kept safely in the Baptist Historical Collection down in Waco at Baylor University. But they're available to us anytime we need them. And so let me quickly, founded May the 15th, 1853, with nine charter members. Those members were part of the Peters Colony land grant in this section of North Texas. The foundation with those nine charter members, they had their articles of faith. I won't read all of those. But article number two, we believe that the Old and the New Testaments are of divine authority and the only rule of faith and practice. And after 164 years, that is still our charter, our doctrine, our faith. We believe that God's Word is divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Some interesting items from the church minutes. And I'll just go through those quickly, and they may be up on the slides. On January the 4th, 1854, the church was less than a year old. On motion, the church took up the case of building a meeting house and appointed a building committee to superintend the building of said house, also to procure a bond from Isham Crowley, for 2 acres of land donated to the church by him on Sunday. And Isham Crowley was one of those Peter's Collie men who had received land through that land grant. On August the 4th, 1855, paid Mr. E. Rogers $120 for putting up the meeting house. May the 2nd, my birthday, 1863, Brother Summer reported that he had not been able to procure wine for sacramental purposes, therefore must postpone communion indefinitely. So back then they didn't have Welch's grape juice. So they had to use real wine. On February the 4th, 1865, Jane Cruz, a member of the church, was excluded because she joined the Methodist Society. Shame on her. June the 30th, 1866, Minner's Chapel Methodist preacher challenges Baptists to debate on the mode of baptism. Bear Creek endorsed their pastor to meet Reverend Bates in debate. I would have liked to have been there. October the 1st, 1868, on a motion voted that the committee appointed at a former meeting of the church draft a plan and obtain means to erect a suitable church house, be instructed to proceed immediately to the discharge of said duty. So this would be the second building. On January the 2nd, 1869, on motion and second, the church voted to build a house of worship on the site where the old meeting house now stands. On December the 31st, 1870, the church voted that the church donate the old church house to Brother Carter, the pastor. And then on September the 15th, 1873, the church in conference voted to tax the members to raise funds for the new building. Now, by taxing the members, it means they're going to assess the total assets of each family, and they're going to tax them based on what their net, their worth was. January 3rd, 1874. The building committee reported that the wealth of the church, the total assets of the church members, was about $40,000 and would need to tax the members at 5% of their wealth to raise the $2,000 needed for the new building. Now, we need a new building here. I think that might not be a good idea, or a bad idea. I probably wouldn't be around long, though. But on May the 2nd, again on my birthday, 1874, voted to rescind the order passed by the church to raise means to build a church by taxation. So evidently they got a little pushback. On May the 16th, 1874, resolved that the building committee be instructed to proceed to purchase materials for the erection of a house of worship and collect means for said purposes as opportunity may offer. February the 6th, 1875, ordered that the trustees proceed to procure a deed to 4 acres of land from Isham Crowley for a burying ground and yard where the church house now stands. Now, for those of you who don't know, if you'll go over to the west side of DFW Airport as you're going up Highway 360, there is, and I can't remember the road there, maybe it's Barden Road, and you take that exit and go up there and you'll see the entrance, Bear Creek Cemetery. And there's still those 4 acres of land there where this church started out 164 years ago. And by the way, Barbara and I have bought burial plots over there. So after we're gone, you can just come over there. It'd be very convenient for you to come visit us. All right. October the 2nd, 1875. Church house painted and seats paid for in the amount of $26.70. In 1876, Isham Crowley deeded 4 acres of land to church trustees in 1876. So that 4 acres of land is still there. It's occupied by the cemetery. October the 4th, 1887. Resolved that Bear Creek Church and Church House be moved to the place known as the Goodfellow Schoolhouse. The church building built in 1875 was moved to the new location on County Line Road, which, of course, you can't travel anymore because it's in the middle of DFW Airport. But they continue to meet in that building until 1970, and you can see the picture there. Excuse me just a minute. And that building that was built in 1875, they moved it over to County Line Road, which is now in the middle of DFW Airport. And they were meeting in that until 1970, when the airport was put in. And then they came over here, bought this land, and built this building. So this building was built in about 1970. And I pray God that He will open up the doors or open up our pocketbooks so that we can provide at least an enlarged facility. All right, so let's consider the past. But adspice, consider the present. For Jacob, the place for Jacob was Bethel. God said to him, "Arise, go up to Bethel." The purpose for him going back to Bethel was to renew his faith, because God had a purpose for Jacob, even as He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And so, chapter 35, verse 1, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there.'" That's going to be your home, Jacob, because that's where I met you for the first time. That's where I renewed the covenant with you. And so I am commending you to go up to Bethel to rebuild the altar, verse 7. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. And in order to get ready to go to meet God, to begin to serve God, to begin to fulfill the purpose that God had for his life, they had to have some preparation. They first of all had to put away their idols, because evidently Jacob's family members were still worshiping idol gods. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments." Purify yourself and change your garments. Get ready to meet God. Get ready to serve God. And then consider the Lord's blessing. Verse 9. "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him." And so Jacob's present was to obey the command of God, to go back where he could be in a position to serve God, to give honor and glory to God. For First Baptist Church, Las Colinas, the place, 1930 Gateway Drive, Irving, Texas. Humanly speaking, if you were trying to choose a good location for a church, this would not be your first choice. But back in 1970, when the airport authority said, "You've got to move," they decided to come east, and chose this place. This was all vacant land back then. There was no Las Colinas. None of these factories, none of these commercial buildings, none of the golf courses, none of that stuff was here. They assumed that eventually this was going to build up. Well, it built up all right. What was once a 5,000-acre ranch became Las Colinas, and then they developed it into a commercial area. And so here we are. But amazingly, God has done a wonderful work here. And I thank each of you, our faithful members here, who support us and who come faithfully to worship God here with us. We ask ourselves the question, what is God's purpose for us? I believe God still has a purpose. We're a family-integrated church. We are a church that believes that families are important. A church that believes that fathers are the head of the family, and that they need to lead and guide and direct and teach their children and their families in the ways of God. And I pray that we will continue to fulfill that. And as God brings more families here, that we can, as a church, give glory and honor to God, and we can send the message, gospel message out to a lost and a dying world. And as we look to the future, how is God going to prepare us for the future? Well, I rejoice every day at the opportunity that God has given me to be here and to serve God with you. When we retired as missionaries from Taiwan in 2001 and came back, we didn't know what God had in store for us. Our plan was to use our Chinese language, and most of you know that I have a propensity toward wanting to speak Chinese. I'll forbear today, but we know and believe that God had a purpose. We wanted to start a Chinese church. But this church called me as their interim pastor in December of 2001. And here I am, 15 and a half years later. The best part about it is that my family is gathered around me here. What a joy to worship and serve God with my family. But even better, I can know that all of you are our family. Our church is like a family, and we love all of you as dear family members. And so now we look to the future. For Jacob, he got a new name. Jacob the supplanter, Jacob the deceiver, was changed to Israel. Israel, Prince of God. Israel, clinging to God and overcoming. He got a new revelation from God. Verse 11a, also God said to him, I am God Almighty. What we need today is a renewed revelation of really who God is. That God is God Almighty. He was God Almighty in the days of Jacob, and He is still God Almighty in our day today. And God can still move with mighty works in our day today. And God wants to use us. And we are so blessed to have had so many here. And I think of the Mandels as they prepare to go to Papua New Guinea. They're going to need a renewed vision of God as God Almighty when they go there and they begin to adjust to a new culture and begin that work of translating a language into the Bible so that those people can read God's Word in their own language. Yes, God Almighty, the covenant was renewed. That covenant is still in effect today. All of God's promises are still in effect because God is faithful. For First Baptist Church, Las Colinas, consider the future. We don't need a new name. We need to preach and praise and honor the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Richard, for those hymns that you chose today. Truly hymns that lift up and praise and honor the name of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to pray in His name. We need to believe in His name. We need to know that we are saved through His name. And we overcome through His name. And so today, we are here to praise His name. Like Jacob, we need a new revelation of God. Because God has not changed. He is still the same. He is the God of grace, love, and mercy, and provision. He is the God of miracles and power. He is the God who moves heaven and earth and suspends the laws of nature. Our church needs to know that God has not changed. He will never leave us. He will help us overcome in whatever challenges we face. Every church goes through ups and downs. Down through these 164 years, we've been up on the mountaintop and we've been down in the valley many times. When I first came in 2001, the church had just gone through her second split in 3 years. And it only left a handful of people. And yet today, God has brought us up to the mountaintop again because of all of you. As God has worked in our lives and dealt and saved people by the grace of God. God is faithful. And because all the way down through those 164 years, a total of 61 pastors have pastored this church. On the back wall back there is Brother Joe Eaton, who has the longest tenure of any pastor, a total of 19 years. And Brother Joe was pastor emeritus when I came here. And he was my faithful supporter when we came. And what a joy it was. He and Sister Mildred are at home in heaven now. We look forward to that reunion one day with them. But God is faithful. Today, let's return to Bethel. Let's renew our vows to God. Because let us know that God has not changed. His promises, His faithfulness is unchanging. He is immutable. So let's honor Him today. Richard, what number are we going to sing for our hymn of invitation? Hymn number 152. 162. And as you turn, would you please stand as we sing this hymn? And if God has spoken to someone's heart here today,
we would invite and welcome you to come to the Lord, trusting Him as your Savior. Or if we have children of God here, you've gotten away from the Lord, you would like to come and renew your vows to the Lord. You would like to return to Bethel today and rededicate your life to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord all the days of your life, as we sing.